Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey, ho, let's go. Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
How lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon, and I have to admit to being a tad overexcited. We are at a football ground, the first time I'll get to see a live game this season. A brilliant Ryan Girdle. We're at Bankwest Stadium. Of course, Rabbitohs and the Titans kick off is 3 o'clock. It looks an absolute picture.
Yeah, it's great conditions out here. We saw a cracking game here last night, and after the Titans had a good win last week, their first one for the season, and the Rabbits, well, they've been playing well on a weekly basis, but haven't been able to necessarily win. They'll be doing battle out here this afternoon, and I can't wait, Tone.
Nathan Brown is here as well. Emma Lawrence, hello to both of you.
Tone, how are you, pal?
Very well, thank you. You've been doing some calling as well. Are you excited to be at the football?
It's good to be here. I'm here for the earlier part. I'm not here for the game, but it's great to be here, and it's just great the footy's on, isn't it? That's the pleasing thing. We've all got something to watch apart from horse racing.
And good that we've got fans back this round as well. So we had just under 200 at one of the games last night at the Central Coast one.
Yep.
And the capacity here with the corporate boxes is 500. So 500 lucky sponsors or fans will get to watch the footy today, which is great.
It was great watching and on the telly and actually seeing some live human beings jumping up and down in the stands.
Yeah.
It was great, isn't it?
There's a lot more cardboard cutouts here today too, Tone. So whoever's running that little business, I think, is doing okay.
Yeah, it's a ground record, I think, for cardboard cutouts. There's a promise of full stadiums by August.
Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it?
Now. So,
exciting.
Obviously, there are constraints still there, and I'll just have a look at the Tyre Power scoreboard for you, just let you know what's happened so far. The Seagulls, 20 over the Broncos, 18. Plenty to come out of that game. That was on Thursday night. The Warriors, 37. The Cowboys, 26. That was an entertaining game of footy
wasn't
as well. Lots of tries scored, but the Warriors too good in the end. The Eels, again, these two teams, both absolute contenders, 16 points to 10. It was interesting. We talk about the crowds coming back, but this whole, COVID-19, it's still crucial the way it's going to be handled going through to August and getting crowds back. Certainly the NRL has been incredibly stringent with that. We saw during the week Benji Marshall, a little peck on the cheek of Channel 7 reporter Michelle Bishop. She was taken away to obviously get the test, and it's happened overnight as well. I saw Hannah Hollis from Fox Sports, from Fox League, put the microphone over the fence to Valentine Holmes, who had an injury, had a chat, and they said, that's great access. Well, it was a little bit too close for comfort, Em.
Yeah, so you're supposed to be 2 metres away from the players. So when they do the pre-game interviews and post-game as well, you have a microphone set up in front of the player. The reporter stands 2 metres away with their own microphone. So that's a difficult thing in-game interviews, where usually you would just go right up to a player or even potentially to the football manager or physio to ask a question about an injury. You can't do that anymore. So Hannah obviously would have been getting pressure from, say, the floor manager, the producer, to say, oh, go and get that interview. But it's just one of those things. The rules are so strict, and we saw what happened with a simple peck on the cheek from Benji Marshall during the week. So Hannah now has been sent for a COVID test as well. So it's just one of those things. You can't go near them unless you're in that approved group of 50 staff members. You've got to stay away.
But it's so difficult. And, you've been involved with clubs for a long time, all your life, basically, Brownie. But the notion, while the rest of the world, well, certainly the rest of Australia, given how well we've handled this so far, the lockdown measures are lifting. So people are feeling kind of different spirit about them. Yet with the NRL players, it is so tough so that they can get through this season. While everything else is lifting, it's still intense for them.
Yeah, I forget, because I'm obviously not in the bubbles. I'll talk to Denny Medeiros most weeks, and then I talk to Pete O'Sullivan and a few of the coaches at the Warriors, and you forget actually what the rules are in place. Like, as much as having friends over for Danny Medeiros, having friends over for his wife's birthday, had to cancel that because he couldn't have her friends come over for the birthday party, or he said he can't go to the beach. I said, what's wrong with the beach at Newcastle? He goes, I'm not allowed, nothing wrong, I can't actually go, but unless you're in there, you don't really understand, I don't think. And I forget every time I talk to them, I forget the strict rules they're under, which they seem to be adhering to reasonably well.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I can't see this lasting too much longer. Can you? You spoke about, potentially home games being played in round 10 or round 11. And then so you would think we're through the thick of it. They just need to be diligent for the next couple of weeks. And then hopefully there'll be some joy for them soon. I don't foresee them for the whole season, being locked away though they are at the moment.
No, you'd certainly hope that was the case. But, complacency can be a problem. Around the rest of the world, these numbers are still jumping up in some places, including South America. So, Australia has been not just lucky. Mm-hmm. The methods have been very, very good. But complacency can still be a problem because the pandemic is still out there. We are at Bankwest Stadium. As you said, the Rabbitohs and the Titans, it's 3 o'clock. The stadium looks fantastic at kickoff. The temperature is supposed to be 19 degrees, a little bit of cloud about, no rain. It is absolutely perfect for the great game of rugby league, the Eels and the Panthers. That's next on the Saturday Scrum, thanks to King G. It's the Saturday Scrum coming to you from Bankwest Stadium. Emma Lawrence, Nathan Brown, Ryan Gerler. My name is Tony Squires. Great to be with you on this Saturday arvo, heading towards kickoff 3 o'clock, the Rabbitohs and the Titans right here. Now, the game last night, there's been some good games, as we said, of footy leading up to today, but the Eels 16, the Panthers 10. Ryan Girdler, obviously you've got your Panthers pants on, but both those teams showed something last night. Obviously 5-0 in terms of games for the Eels this year. Hasn't happened, I think, since 1986 when they won that premiership. They looked the goods, but the Panthers lost nothing by comparison.
Well, Tony, I think we won the battle but lost the war, so to speak. I just thought... bruising encounter, very physical early. Penrith, I think it was really even. Like, well, when they had Brown, when they had Campbell Gillard, when they had Junior Paulo on, and they were going at Penrith, I thought it was a really good contest. I don't think really anyone got the ascendancy. I think they need to worry a little bit about their forward rotation, because when those three guys went off, I think then Penrith surged through the middle part of that game and were able to come away with some points. And then when those three guys came back on for the last 25 minutes or so, I think therefore they got back onto the level of where Penrith were. And, with some brilliant play by Wonga Blake, some individual brilliance and some inexperience from...
Given he was a Penrith player?
No, not really. I thought that he was a guy, Wonga Blake, with a lot of potential, but was just never, I think, consistently performing as a Penrith player. Thought he had a couple of, errors in his game and probably needed to get those out. And it looks like, this year he's been able to do that. But we need to see. He's a guy that could play representative football, but only if he plays like that, on a weekly basis. And hopefully he can do that, because the Eels certainly need that. But cracking contest. Congratulations, Parramatta. Now, Parramatta... we've spoke about their roster and their premiership favourites and whatever they are these days. Now, that's how they need to play on a weekly basis, because everyone's going to be coming to get them. And that's going to be the challenge for Parramatta. You just can't come out and perform like that. Like, they found a way to win last night, which is not an easy thing to do in a game like that. I think next week they've got some stiff competition, the next couple of weeks. So just looking forward to seeing how they transition from a side that's, up and down, like a bit of a roller coaster, to a stable side that performs like that every week. And if you can do that, well, then you can go on and win a premiership.
I think they've got the Roosters followed by the Raiders coming up, so that will be tough. What did you like about them?
I thought coming into the game, Parramatta would win the game at the moment. The Panthers have a lot of younger players still playing. They've got about half a dozen blokes that have played a handful of games, where Parramatta's whole team's pretty hardened. And Gerge just mentioned, Wonga Blake beat a kid twice who's played. He's just got out of, he's probably still goes to school.
Crichton.
Yeah, like he's a kid, isn't he? He hasn't played
three or four first grade games.
Yeah, he's going to be an outstanding player.
He is.
So the more experienced team, more match hardened team, won the contest, which is, I think, most people would have expected. Most football judges, Penrith are outstanding how they competed, but they've still got some blokes they're probably going to get a lot more upside out of that game, because they got beat by Parramatta, who's playing very well, and people are tipping as a premiership threat, The pleasing thing for both games last night for me was both centres, as in Wonga Blake, beat his man one-on-one twice. Peter Hiku beat his man one-on-one and scored. So we're actually seeing centres really, really, with these new rules, they're getting the ball in more space and getting an opportunity to be one-on-one, as opposed to under the old rules, they could be getting the ball under a lot more pressure, So it's great to see from what the new rules and new referees, it's actually probably helping Wonga Blake become more valuable than what he may have been at Penrith, you know. Petr Hicku more valuable than what he may have been 12 months ago, because these one-on-one contests sometimes have been a bit lost in rugby league.
And we've seen, it was just such all-rounded entertaining game of footy. Mitch Moses after the game said it was probably the fastest game of footy that he's ever played in. And I don't think there was a moment that you really wanted to switch off. It'd be really interesting to see the ratings for both Fox and Channel 9, because obviously a Western Sydney derby, already there's massive interest there. But it just had a bit of everything. It had some huge hits. That Campbell Gillard had a massive one on James Fisher-Harris. I think Junior Paulo on Caleb Aitkins at one stage.
Is that fair that a big bloke like him can absolutely crunch a little bit?
Oh, if little guys are going to run through the middle of the field trying to take advantage of fatiguing big forwards with a big workload, yeah, you get what you deserve in there. But, I mean, he was good, Caleb. I mean, he's another guy, you mentioned, Brownie, that's probably only played four or five games in his career in a key position. Dylan Edwards will come back at some point and put pressure on.
He was close this week, but Ivan said probably just not fit enough, so they'll wait till next week as well. Yep. And with having Matt Burton on the bench, he could even, if Dylan Edwards, you know, potentially isn't 100% match fit, there's the option of having putting Matt Burton back there potentially as well late in the game once Dylan Edwards does come back.
They look
fit.
Has he
played fullback? Has Matt Burton played fullback?
I'm not sure. No, I don't think so. I think he came through in the halves. But they both look fit. Like, I mean, Brownie and I called the Warriors-Cowboys game before it. And, you know, it was a different intensity about that contest, wasn't there? You know, top of the table sides going at it, but they look hardened and fit, both of those sides, and they both played for 80 minutes last night. It was a gripping contest.
Have we buried the lead? Nathan Cleary came back after 2 weeks, and that contest, I guess, with Mitchell Moses has been talked about as an origin style thing. Well, what did you make of that?
Yeah, look, on the origin front, like, obviously Freddie's the coach and Freddie will pick who he wants, but I'm pretty confident Mitchell Pearce helped them win the series last year, and I think Mitchell Pearce is playing terrific footy, you know. So I think some of these guys need to do more before they can just take it off a side that's won the series. You know, you're not talking about a New South Wales side that's been losing.
But didn't Mitchell come in on the back of Nathan not being able to play? Nathan,
they actually wanted Mitchell to play twice, but he couldn't play. And then as soon as they could get him in, they got him in.
Yeah. I think it's also going to depend, Brownie, on what they want to do with the six.
It would have to be Luke Keary.
You would think Luke Keary is going to come in at six. So then who's going to partner with Luke Keary better?
It'd be like, the good thing is, what we're talking about is like blokes who are very good players who are playing consistently good footy, you know. Mitchell and Keary have played together before, so I would see that as a very formidable combination. You know, the best thing that probably in Mitchell Pearce's favour for me is, one of the things he gets doesn't get given enough credit for, I believe, is if you watched his game last week, he obviously kicks the ball exceptionally well. But if there's other people in the team that are playing really well, Mitchell just gives them the ball. He doesn't feel every week he's got to be the best player on the field or has to create all the tries. So Kalen Pong was having a day out last week. So all Mitchell did last week was steered the team around really well, kicked outstanding and got his defense right, and he lets other people play. Mm. And some of the younger halves today feel that they've got to manipulate the defense all the time. And if you actually watch the game, how it's being played this year, because there's less pressure from the inside, actually transferring the ball through your hands quicker and getting other people to get their one-on-ones on the edges or in more space, you know, that type of player is going to be more effective as opposed to the half that always wants to go into the line, because you don't need to do that at the minute, the way the game's being played under the new rules.
And I thought Nathan did that really well last. I thought the tempo that he played with, I thought there was a new element to what we've seen over the last couple of years. He's certainly developing as a player. I think he's a totally different player than Mitchell, where Mitchell is a guy that wants to, you know, own the moments, and his kicking game was good last night. And I think sometimes during the middle of that contest, Mitchell struggles to find his role a little bit, you know. But I thought Nathan, that the whole time, always had his hands on the football, you know, was doing the fundamentals right, getting the basics right, rarely makes an error, defensively really, really strong. And I think, yeah, you got three players there that, you know, if they continue on in the way that they're going at the end of the year, it's going to be a great thing for New South
and
Wales.
The big thing for Mitchell Moses is going to continue to be judged on what he does in the big games against the big teams until he actually does it. He's probably in some ways unfairly judged because he hasn't had the opportunity to play in many big games. You know, he hasn't been at a club that's played a lot of finals footy. So what happens is people sort of come up with this thing that Mitchell Moses can't deliver in a big game under pressure, but he's been exposed to it maybe once in his life in semi-final football, once or twice. Yep. The more they play in those contests, the better they get at it, where Mitchell Pearce and Luke Keary and these blokes that have been at the forefront of finals footy their whole life, they're used to it. So for Mitchell Moses to probably nail an origin spot, Parramatta would have to go deep into September, and he'd have to show Brad Fittler that in the heat of the battle, my skills are going to hold up, because he is a very talented player, isn't he? He's playing some good footy.
Even defensively, I think this year he's been a lot better, and I think it was going to be a massive test coming into that game last night with Kikau there on that edge, but he put his body on the line, and I mean, I'd be pretty scared having Viliami Kikau.
It would have taken a fair bit of energy out of him, to be fair, as well, Em, because we spoke about it, and during the call of the Warriors Cowboys game, Brownie and I were continually talking about the ability, halves have now to get these bigger men at little men and get one-on-one situations with centres and whatnot. And there was a whole lot of times last night where, Big Billy Kikau standing in front of Mitchell Moses and the ball's coming towards him and he's making defensive decisions, putting his body on the line, and takes a lot out of you as well. Yep. And then you don't really see, what happens in the set after that or where Mitchell is. But it wasn't too many times you could say that, Big Billy just ran over the top of Mitchell and, made lots of yards or set up a try.
And they're big men, aren't they?
He's a giant.
They're big men,
aren't they? Giant.
Terrifying. What I did like here at Bankwest Stadium last night was how whoever was running the sound system, when Nathan Cleary had his first attempt at goal, they put on the song Blinding Lights, which is the one he was TikToking to, and got him.
You got an eye for detail, fan, don't you?
That's what they played. And
is that right?
You weren't a fan of the crowd noise. Was that you or Gerds?
No, I'm a huge fan of the crowd
noise. You're not a fan of the crowd noise, Gerds.
And I
like the natural sounds of the game, Emma. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I like a combination.
Wait a second. Everybody stop talking. That's the natural sound of the game at the moment, sadly. So I'm not sure that the problem will be as we slowly reintroduce crowds here. I think you still have to on, TV, radio, have that sound and perhaps the other sound. Otherwise, if you're only hearing 200 people, you'll hear every bit of abuse.
All I'm saying, Tony, and you don't need to take offence, I'm not having a go at Fox, I'm just saying that for the first couple of weeks, I thought they didn't have their levels right.
Yes.
They've adjusted those, and I think it's just going along swimmingly at the moment.
Okay, Nathan Brown, not the one who sits right next to me, but the one who came back. Gee, he played well. He's a tough bloke, isn't he?
He was outstanding. Yeah.
His second stint.
Correct me if I'm wrong, he hasn't played for a long time, has he?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not sure when he last spoke, but he's going to do that with us next. We're going to catch up with Nathan Brown next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Emma Lawrence, Nathan Brown, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. I mentioned Nathan Brown, of course. He isn't the man we're about to speak to. Shared the name, though. But Nathan Brown from the Parramatta Eels, victorious over the Panthers last night, joins us right here, right now. Congratulations, mate.
Thank you. Thanks, boys.
Absolutely excellent effort from the team, but particularly from you. A few sore bodies, I'd imagine, going round this morning.
Yeah, a few bodies sore recovery this morning, but now it's rest up over the weekend and look forward to Roosters next Saturday.
Hey, so Brownie, that's your first run back, isn't it, since you went into lockdown?
Yeah, first game back, yeah.
How did you find it? Looked like it was obviously physical and it looked pretty fast.
Yeah, especially that first half, that first 30 minutes was, I think it was one of the quickest games this year, they said. So, the ball was in play the longest. So, it was definitely tested my fitness levels, but it was good.
Were you able to, obviously not playing in those first two games since we've been back, the game's obviously changed a little bit since we did go into lockdown. Were you able to sort of adjust things on the run and make some changes to your game personally before you came back?
Yeah, I knew that in the second half it would open up a bit more. So, I just had to hang in there that first half, and I knew that there'd be more gaps and a bit more feeling into the game start opening up in the second half, which is which it did. So that was the game plan going into last night's game. So it worked out well.
And how good was it to watch your teammate Wonga Blake in full flight? That was probably his best game in an Eels jersey.
Yeah, it was, especially up against his old clubs. It's good for him to get that performance under his belt. He's definitely one of the most athletic bloke in the NRL. Is such a big powerful unit, and have that short weapon on the edges definitely helps. So he had a great game last night, which is proud of him.
Hey, Brownie, it's Brownie, mate. I've never interviewed anyone with my own name, so how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Yourself.
Yeah, good, pal. Hey, if there's one difference to Para this year, what would you say the difference is compared to the previous couple of years?
I think our attitude week in, week out. Last year we had a couple of good wins in a row, and then that third or fourth game was sort of got a bit of a complacency. So, yeah, that was definitely one of the things we worked on during the off season, and we spoke about it. It's pleasing to get obviously the few wins in a row this year, but that's probably the most things we try to work on this year is just to get back to back good performances. So yeah, hopefully now we've got a couple of wins under our belt and go into next week against the Premiership winning team and come with that same attitude.
Good. And, mate, and the new rules, the game being a little quicker, you're obviously someone who likes to use the football a bit. Do you find that more time's going to help your game?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely. It's obviously opens up through the middle, which helps me. So, yeah, hopefully, keep at it and, keep going.
Who was talking themselves up more in the dressing room after the game? Regan Campbell-Gillard for his hit on James Fisher-Harris or Junior Paulo for getting the little fullback?
the big boys had a good game. Actually, they play really well. Yeah, it definitely helps playing in the middle against those big boppers. So yeah, no, they had two solid performances yesterday, which is it helps my game.
What have you made of Ryan Madison? I think you got through 80 minutes last night. Always seems to be thereabouts around the football. Highly talented guy. He's making a difference for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, his leadership and his experience he had, he's played obviously in a couple of big games, in a Premiership game. So yeah, his leadership and what he brings to his side on the field, he definitely brings a lot more off it as well. You know, he's a great leader, like I said, and he's really good with the younger boys. And yeah, he's fitted in straight away. He's very, very easy guy to get along with, and I'm very happy that we got him in the side.
And it's been a while now that you guys, we were chatting before just about how difficult it is as the rules are starting to ease in society, but the players still have to be so strict with what they're doing. Are you finding it tough? And with all of the boys that you're around, is there anyone that's really starting to bug you? I imagine someone like Fergo or a Gutho would be top of the pest list.
Yeah, we've got a few characters in our team. Bit of annoying blokes. Reggie's... Regan Campbell-Gillard is always the loudest one. Actually, he's always got something to say. But it's funny, and we've got a good bunch of boys. You know, we play for each other, and hopefully, this bubble and it gets off soon, and we start getting some crowds and start having things back to normal.
Well, you're playing very well. The team, as we said, 5-0 to start this year. The first time that's happened since 1986, a year that the Parramatta Eels were premiers. Your fans will be hoping and praying that is the case this year.
Mate, Tom, we were just about to ask you what you're going to do over the weekend, Brownie, but you can't do anything, can you? You just got to stay at home.
Yeah, stay at home, relax. Yeah, can't do much.
But, you're going to watch some footy today? Do you watch some games?
Yeah. I don't mind watching footy. I love footy, so. I don't mind watching it, so yeah, probably just kick back on the couch, feed up, and just enjoy some footy.
Who did you support as a kid?
As a kid, I like the Roosters. I didn't want the Roosters. Yeah, Brad Fittler. I liked Adrian Morley. He's a tough character. So yeah, I didn't want the Roosters.
did Supercoach Brad Arthur say to you, obviously, coming back, keep the aggression, but just put a tiny lid on it?
Yeah, that's always something that I've tried to work on in my game, just to control that aggression and use it effectively. So yeah, I think I'm getting better, but hopefully can continue that.
Don't you find there, Brownie, like blokes like yourself? I think why coaches and players love playing with you guys is because that actual aggression is what makes you. Like I play with Gordon Tallis, for a short period before Gordy ditched us for the Broncos. Yeah. And you blokes, I find you are who you are, and when you're not bringing that aggression, I don't feel you are the same players as you are when you do bring it. So it must be hard to cut it back too much, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you want to obviously lift the team, but you also don't want to let the team down by giving away a a penalty out of frustration or being over too aggressive and being over too keen. So, yeah, you've got to sort of find that balance. But, yeah, once you do, definitely, that's how I like to play the game. It definitely helps the team around you.
You got the balance completely right last night. Congratulations on your effort and that of your team. Thanks so much for having a chat. We'll catch up again soon.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Once more, thanks to Tyre Power, that scoreboard. The Eels 16 over the Panthers 10. It was 10-0 at one stage. The Eels have this amazing record. I think this year, the last 20 minutes, they're so far better than any other team in terms of the numbers. It's ridiculous. So the final 20 minutes have been great this season.
He's their yardstick. Yeah. I mean, I think he has been for the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah. But, you know, if you want to see how the Eels are going to play in a certain afternoon, he drives their line speed. He drives their energy. You know what I mean? For a guy that basically hasn't played or done anything similar to that in 11 weeks to come out and perform like that just shows you the quality of the player that he is.
I reckon if you spoke to him, his favourite day of the week is game day, without a shadow of a doubt. That'd be his favourite day.
Did speak to him.
Yeah,
we should have asked him.
Just watching him, though, you know.
You can see the excitement.
You can just see he is, and you watch some other players play, and there's one or two teams that aren't going, you know, so well at the moment, and you watch game day and it's like there's some blokes that are out there where it's actually probably not the most popular day of the week. You watch Nathan Brown and it certainly is most.
That's infectious too, isn't it?
100% it is.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Gerds was just saying before, in terms of that size forward and that attitude, Victor Radley, those kinds of guys, they're about at the moment, aren't they?
He's a guy that might never go on to play representative football yet, you know, and at a time 10 or 15 years ago when New South Wales, you know, were going through that stage, or 6 or 7 years ago, he would have been the star of the pack and a guy that you'd pick to lead away. But you've got Victor Radley, you've got Cameron Murray, you've got Jake Dubojevic, you've got Dale Finucane, and he's come through now with this generation of guys that are just super talented that you can't all fit into the one space. But he wouldn't look out of place, Brownie, in a rep jumper.
No, he wouldn't. And if he was a Queenslander, he'd play 15 Origins and everyone would say what a star he is. But as you just mentioned, New South Wales have a bigger pool to pick from, and blokes like him, unfortunately, sometimes don't get the opportunity. But I've got no doubt he'd handle Origin. He's mad.
He's built for Origin.
Yeah, 100%.
And he's done such a good job to curb that aggression, because over the last couple of years, like someone like Jared Warrior Hargreaves had quite a few suspensions, and you can tell he makes such a difference to that side, and there's not that aggression when he's not there. So if he can keep a lid on that, avoid the suspensions, then... Yep. Happy days. Maybe it will be another premiership for the Eels.
He's always got that glint in his eye, You watch him, he's sort of desperate there's trouble coming. He'd love to be playing in the 80s, wouldn't he? He'd love it.
Absolutely. We're going to go backwards, have a look at the Manly and the Broncos game, some of the controversy that came out of that. We'll hear from Anthony Seibold as well. And Dragons fans, yes, we are going to get there. Was that the right decision? Paul McGregor is continuing to coach the St. George Illawarra Dragons. I won't try to make Nathan Brown feel uncomfortable, but we'll certainly put him on the spot a little bit.
Will make him feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was actually lying. Our whole idea is to make him feel completely uncomfortable. That's happening in the next 10, 15 minutes right here on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Beautiful afternoon here at Bankwest Stadium before the game. The South Sydney Rabbitohs taking on the Titans. Will be about 19 degrees, a few clouds overhead, but plenty of blue sky as well. Perfect afternoon for some great football. And there has been terrific rugby league all weekend so far. Just as we look back to Thursday evening, the Sea Eagles and the Broncos, 20 points to 18. And once again, it was Manly had come back from 18-0 down. Now, they nearly got the job done the week before against Parramatta from what was the same score. And were just pipped at the post, but they came back to win 20 points to 18. Desi says it shows character, that kind of thing where you can let a team go out, but you keep fighting.
Yeah, to be able to come back from 18-0 in anyone's books is an outstanding achievement. And the fact of the matter is, I've said before, I'm sure most people would agree with me, Manly's got three of the best players in the competition. And if they get going and get forward, and in the first half I don't think they really hit the line with any thrust or power, and I'm sure Desi would have given a little bit of a rev up at half time, but once they started running hard and getting some ascendancy through the ruck. You know, the two Trbojevic and Cherry Evans, extremely difficult to contain for long periods.
Yeah, that's such a good win, considering they came off that disappointment and that emotional loss against Parramatta the week before, where they probably feel like that it was unjustified. And then, as Brownie said, they just didn't get out of the blocks at all. And then found a way to win. And then I also think you've got to take into consideration the fact the Broncos, at the moment, I don't want to say they're looking for ways to lose, but they're a side, they're playing very nervous at the moment. They've obviously got no confidence. They got into that lead. They almost got to a 24-point lead. They had a try called back with that indiscretion with Cherry Evans there that almost could have been another, and might have got out to 24 points, which you'd think would be, unassailable. But the fact is, they just tightened right up, didn't they, then the Broncos? You know, they had a couple of opportunities there to ice that game and they couldn't get it done. And I just think that's just
inexperience?
It's just where they are mentally at the moment. They're just, really playing without a lot of confidence and they couldn't get it done.
But it was such a better performance than the week before. Like, don't you think they look like a completely different side?
Much better
to the side that got pumped by the Roosters. And I think the pressure is... Their pressure will still be on Anthony Seibold until they get a couple of wins in a row, but there are definitely promising signs. And for the future, I guess someone like that young Xavier Coates, like, he's an absolute freak. I think scored a try, had a try assist as well, really good under the high ball. There were comparisons between, I know it's really early days, but some putting out their comparisons to GI.
Yep.
And so he was exciting to watch. Pressure will still be on Anthony Seibold, but I certainly think it was a massive step in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, if Manly were disappointed last week and got the wrong end of the deal with that forward pass that was called against Parramatta, some say that it kind of evened itself up a little bit this time with the call late in the game. We're still 8 or 9 minutes to go when a penalty was given to them because of a stripping of the ball. The referee had called held, then Carrigan strips the ball and a penalty. Now, I think it's the right decision. Let's just have a listen to what Anthony Seibold had to say about that decision.
Oh, mate, it's a really tough call. It was a one-on-one strip, so if he had a called held, then what normally happens is the guy gets to play the ball again. So to lose a game like that, it's disappointing because, I just didn't think it was a penalty.
I think that usually that happens when they pass the ball and they haven't heard held, they bring it back. I think if it's a strip, it's a penalty is the common thing, isn't it? That's how I would have read it.
Well, they had an 18-point lead. They didn't lose the game because of that incident, And I think if you look at Dez and the way that he handled it the week before, they actually did lose the game because that pass was called back. Now, Dez didn't get into the press conference and say, well, we lost the game because of that incident. And I think, it's a bit of a sign of where the organisation are at the moment when the coach comes in and blames an incident for blowing an 18-point lead.
And they had an opportunity to win it right at the end, but Tom Trbojevic came up with that try-saving tackle, I think, in the final minute. So they did have opportunities after that. They had another, 8 minutes or so to win it.
Anthony Seibold has also addressed exactly what you're talking about, Gerds. In fact, it's the people from outside, the outside voices, or even those from who formerly were inside the club who have been critical of how the Broncos are playing, and I guess through that of how Anthony Seibold is going as well. He addressed that. Let's have a listen.
People who make comment, mate, they're not inside our building. It's going to be there regardless. I mean, doesn't impact how we train, how we play. And we're not trying to silence any critics. We're trying to get better as a group.
Is it hard to keep out that white noise, especially if it's people who were at the club?
Well, the reality is with today's society, the younger generation can't stay off social media, can they? They cannot stay away from it, regardless whether it's helping them or causing a mental disadvantage, I suppose, if you like to put it like that. I know of one player at one club who, I'm not going to mention his name, and it wasn't a club I coached at recently, and he said social media was affecting him, and the advice he got was, well, why don't you just get off social media? But they just can't, can they? It's impossible. So would some of those noises be affecting some of the Brisbane players? It's got to have some sort of impact when the attention they're getting is coming from basically all the people who built the Broncos, who won all the grand finals for the Broncos. So it's going to have some sort of effect. It's not going to have no effect. It's going to have some sort of effect. And the sooner the Broncos can manage to, I suppose, have these, at least some of these bigger personalities, you're never going to have them all on side, have some with you, you're going to be far better off. Yeah, but at the moment they've got none with them. They need some with them.
I think the thing is too with everyone reading social media, even if you're not reading what those people are saying, someone else is. So one of your friends or your family members, and then they will come and say, oh, did you see what so-and-so said about you? So I don't really think there's any way to escape it. Someone is going to bring it up in your immediate environment.
My daughters will put shit on me with something. People say about me. They do. Yeah. Oh, Dad, what this bloke said about it. You can't stay away from it.
I think, you know, you're obviously passionate about your old club. Yeah, like we all are. So we always dig a little deeper. And I think that's exactly what they're doing. The thing is with the Broncos at the moment, you know, we're not used to seeing the Broncos go through these rebuilding phases or whatever you would like to call it, because, you know, they've got the luxury of, you know, having the whole area to choose, you know, their junior systems and put those pathways together. You know, they've got a lot of corporate, you know, partners and sponsorship up there that a lot of the other clubs don't get. So it really, therefore, you know, it's not an easy sell when you get a coach up there saying we've got a young side and we're rebuilding and we're looking to the future and those sorts of things, because the Broncos just demand success. And I just think that it's not just about the performances they're putting on the field. I just think it's about what's transpired up there over the last 3 or 4 years to get them, 4 years to get them into this situation. Are they in a better place now than they were 3 or 4 years ago? And can you look ahead 3 or 4 years and see a premiership winning side coming, a premiership winning team coming from the players that they have at the moment? And Is there effort on a weekly basis there, and is there a plan, and does it look like the plan's clear and the players understand what the coach is trying to say or the message? For me at the moment, it doesn't look like it's really clear. I don't know where the Broncos are going and where they're headed to.
Can you see them winning a premiership in 4 years?
Not with the current roster that they have, no. I just don't think they've got the key positions, you know, covered at the moment. And I think that they've obviously got to spend a lot of money, and we spoke about it last week, Brandy. They've got to spend a lot of money on these young forwards coming through, and I'm not sure that's going to leave them, you know, enough in their salary cap to buy the, you know, players in positions that they need. And I also think that, you know, they've made some decisions over the past 3 or 4 years or 5 years, or when you bring a guy like Anthony Milford into the organisation and he's your highest paid player, you know, you only get one opportunity to bring a guy to your organisation who's your highest paid player.
Yep.
You need to get that decision right. I reckon if you don't, then you're chasing and you're always behind and under pressure with your salary cap. Well,
your best players, in theory, should be your highest paid players. You know, I'd go to my previous club, the Knights, and the three, everyone would know, the three highest paid players of the Knights would be Caelan Ponga, Mitchell Pearce, and Dave Clemmer. And they should be the best paid players because they're the most influential players at the club.
On and off the field?
Well, training, playing.
Yeah.
You want them to be provide other stuff, you know. But, and if you go to say the Melbourne Storm over the generation, the best paid players were Cooper Cronk, Cameron Smith and Billy Slater, because they are the best players. And when clubs get the best paid players wrong, you have to have a flaw in your roster somewhere, and that's the reality of it. I think the big question for Brisbane is, and take Anthony Seibold out of the firing line here, if someone had said in the 90s that the Roosters were going to have 20 years where they are the most successful club in the competition, along with Melbourne Storm, and the Broncos are going to win one grand final, what, everyone would have laughed at you.
Yeah.
So I think it's more than just looking at like a coach or one recruiter. It's where's it actually gone for them, where the Roosters can be so well run and so well organised. The Melbourne Storm can come into the competition. They can be so well run and so well organised that they can play in 8 or 9 grand finals each. And after the year 2000, the Broncos have won one grand final. That's a big question for me.
Let me ask you this then, Brownie. And I think it was something that you were really conscious of when you were there at Newcastle. And we're talking about, you know, ex-players, people that have, you know, bled for the jersey and had a lot of success at that club, getting them on side and bringing that culture back. Like Anthony Seibold's basically saying now he's not here to please those older guys, and we get that. Yeah, he's foremost of his priorities is getting results for that footy club. We all understand that. But how important is including those ex-players and that culture and being able to make them feel part of it and having those young guys understand what those guys went through for that jersey?
The last two clubs I was at was Newcastle and St Helens. Both have, you know, Newcastle have got the old boys, and Newcastle's old boys, the strongest part of the old boys is blokes that would come through the Knight system in the 90s and won grand finals in 97 and 2001. That's the core group of the old boys. Yep. the last couple of generations, there's not, you know, apart from Kurt Gidley, who actually comes through with Joey and that at that time.
With
anyway, and Matty and that, he comes through that sort of period. Apart from Kurt, there's not a real strong group of old boys from the Knights in the past 15 years, because the Knights have been a bit of a transit lounge for people coming and going and coming and going and not developing players.
Yep.
So for Newcastle, your Paul Harrigans and the Gidleys and these type of blokes, Denny Badiris, yeah, they're really important to the organisation. Yeah, they're really, really important. And anyone that goes there embraces them because they know they're important, you know, and you certainly wouldn't be a good move to be pushing them away, because Newcastle, it's the type of town it is, and you've got to embrace that yourself. Sure, you've got to bring, Adam O'Brien will take some stuff that he's gathered for himself, from the Storm, from the Roosters, and he'll introduce that, but I'm sure he'll embrace the old boys. At St. Helens, when I went there, St. Helens were probably like the Broncos were in the 90s. St. Helens, you know, when I went there, they hadn't won a grand final for about 5 or 6 years, but they'd lost 5. So going to St. Helens wasn't about changing St. Helens or anything. You just embraced what they had and made a couple of recruitment decisions.
Yep.
You don't have to,
reinvent the wheel.
You know, if things are good, embrace them and make one or two changes and help adapt.
All right. I don't think the players or Anthony need to go to social media to hear criticism. They just listen to a Triple M on a Sunday, and Gordy will do it for them right here.
He's passionate.
He is passionate. We might come back. I don't know if we've got room before the top of the hour to play a game of 3 and 5. You listen to the Saturday Scrum for King G.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.